their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado. This is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
It's good to be back with you again this week. Good to see you, Rick. And we have some fun stuff for this week's episode because we went out and did a little fun shooting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew this, right? Because we did do that. I mean, I don't need you to confirm what I was present for, but yes.
Yeah, let me know when you reach that point and I'll arrange for the proper psychiatric care or whatever is necessary.
No, we had a lot of fun up in the mountains yesterday doing some shooting and looking for some eclectic subjects, eclectic locations here in the mountains. You can find stuff if you go around long enough. You can sometimes come across cool things, which we did. So that was fun. What else are we going to talk about today?
Well, just a very quick thing. We have a nice group for our Crested Butte workshop.
Oh, yes.
And looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun. We know some of the people attending, and they're great people. So it should be a blast.
Absolutely. Yes. Definitely looking forward to that. I'm glad we have people coming out for that one because it is a fun trip.
It is. It's very relaxing.
It is. That's
one of the nicer ones in that respect.
Yes, it's not a grueling schedule by any stretch, so that's a nice thing.
No.
It's reminiscing on going to Badlands in June when we had to be up at 0400 and don't miss that.
Yeah, it's like boot camp. But some very quick comments. We're not going to dwell on this. But we've been beating our heads against the walls over the last couple of weeks with Nik Collection 4. I think they did put out a fix that cured a big problem that we had. And by the way, we would suggest people look on our Facebook page because we're trying to post comments about what we're seeing in current status. I put some things on there when I got wind that the fix was coming through for larger file sizes, higher resolution images. Mm-hmm. That had the thing brought to its knees before that got applied. But the bottom line is, at the very least, we would strongly recommend that someone download the trial version and operate just with the trial version for a while before pulling the trigger on it. You should make sure that you have your license code for the previous version, version 3, as well as access to the installer for version 3. Because if you purchase it like I did, that stuff goes away on their website. Unfortunately, I still had old emails from the past where I could get the license code. But at the very least, you should use it. I would say at this point, I'm frustrated with portions of it. I like other portions of it, but it's generally working for me. You're having many more problems with it. And in your case, you had reverted back to version 3. You're temporarily operating with version 4, but I think you'll go back to 3, correct?
I'm just going to wait and see. Level. You know, the most of the issues that I run into, which are frustrating for me, stem from using Photoshop as the host. So there's just things that, you know, and you know, the biggest changes to the Nik Collection stuff, as we mentioned, was they've really overhauled the VESA and silver effects. And unfortunately, some of the issues that I'm running into in Photoshop are translated onto the other plugins like Color Effects too, even though the plugins run fine. So I there's no rhyme or reason to it. I mean, I had the version 4 and stuff worked the way you would expect it to in Photoshop. And then I ran the hotfix installer for the one that came out yesterday. And then I got this bug that, you know, it's causing the plugins to exit without applying the effects. So, I mean, it's just,
yeah, but there are other issues.
But there's a lot of stuff that I want to like about this software because I can tell there's some goodness in there. It's just got so many rough edges now where it's kind of frustrating for me to use. And your point really is this: if you install any version 4 installer, it overwrites and removes your version 3. It doesn't install it as a second instance, you know, like a second a new folder. It removes your existing collection. So just make sure that if you, even if you're trying the trial, that you've got a version of the, you know, you've got a copy of the disk image or the download, you know, for the version 3, should you choose to go back. You know, my hope is that a lot of this stuff is going to get fixed pretty soon, because while the one issue was fixed, there's still a lot of other issues that are happening, and it's just, and it frustrates me because I like what they're trying to do with the, like, I, you know, the output could be quite nice.
But I'll just be blunt about it, even though I'm having better success with it. This has all the appearances of not having been beta tested. We've worked with this kind of stuff and even the Nick stuff in the past, where we started with alpha code and then moved into beta, early beta, and all that kind of stuff. This doesn't look like it was beta tested,
right,
to me.
No,
it's, too many problems. I can make it work, but they should not have released it.
I will echo that sentiment. Too many things, but for
the future.
and since this only comes out once a week, just like you said, we put out a statement on our Facebook page, facebook.com/imagedoctors. You put out a statement, updated it with some of the fix, then you've updated it again. We're going to continue to post that information there, so when things do get fixed, as we find out, that's where you can go and find it. And hopefully this is just a short-term issue, and then it gets
resolved. Certainly hope so.
Okay.
All right.
Enough about that. Let's talk about
fun things.
Having fun. Right. It's like, you know, last year we, during the lockdown, we interviewed Rick Salmon, and Rick Salmon started a Facebook group or whatever called Photo Therapy. And he, you know, it's just this idea. And I kind of think that's basically what we did yesterday, was have some photo therapy. And phototherapy can happen to you in any variety of ways. It could be with the subject matter. It could be going to a different location. Just getting your gear out sometimes is therapeutic, right? And so we took a little drive up into the high country. We were at about 8,900 feet or so up in the mountains. Found little mountain towns and stuff like that. We came across some old cars and some other eclectic subjects, and so we went to photograph them. And we kind of each went about this in a slightly different way. So, like, you brought, what did you bring? I'm trying to remember what you had with you.
I had a Nikon Z7II with a 24-200 on it for normal visible light kind of photography. And then I had my infrared Z6, which is converted to 720 nanometers, and then I had a couple lenses with that, a 24-70 and a 14-30. I don't think I used the 14-30 at all. Where we were shooting, it just wasn't needed. So, you know, somewhat lightweight configuration, just for fun, which it was.
I had a similar body choice, in fact, identical body choice.
Imagine that.
Z7II and Z6 720 infrared, because kind of we knew what we were looking for. And right now it's green in Colorado, so it is very good for infrared, especially on the kind of bright sunny days.
Very true.
A lot of these high altitude locations, you don't get the soft light ever. Or if you do, it's in shade because it's in a valley or something. You know, the sun isn't high enough.
And when you say high altitude locations, you also mean where we live.
Yeah, I mean just here at home. But we
don't get soft light very often at all.
No, it just doesn't happen. So I brought that as well. But I just wanted it to be different. So over the holidays.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you were very different.
I stocked up on primes. I bought a bunch of the Prime Z lenses. So I brought the 24, 35, 50, and 85 primes just to be different. Not that I enjoyed switching lenses. I do remember now why I like zooms for convenience factor. Yeah. But what I ended up doing was I used the 85 millimeter on my visible on the Z7. Mm-hmm. And then I used the other three lenses on the infrared body, mostly the 35 and the 50. But I did do a little bit with the 24 just for fun. And I wanted to try them because those are very good lenses for the infrared. They work quite nicely. Plus, having the primes meant I could play more with depth of field and get some softer backgrounds because you can shoot these lenses wide open, 1.8, and get some different looks.
Now, one other thing that was in our heads at the time that we were shooting. Mm-hmm. Was, you know, recently we talked about the latest Lightroom update and how it had the premium presets or profiles
right
in it with different looks. And you and I had kind of an interesting text exchange on those. And if I were to paraphrase it, it was me saying, I think they can be interesting and creative at times. And you saying, I think they're mostly, those kind of things are mostly crap.
Well, it is a distinct look.
We ended up actually converging in the end.
Yeah, it's a distinct look. And what you find is with a shoot like what we did, where you say, I am going to deliberately process all of my images from this location or this, you know, whatever it might be, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's a portrait shoot or in this case, you know, just finding eclectic subjects, you know, things that you wouldn't normally process this way. On a one-off basis, if you do it to the image sequence as a whole, it can work because you have a consistent theme as you're going between images. I think what happens is if you apply one of these, whether it's a profile or you know these new premium presets or whatever you might, you know, presets are always you gotta be careful with presets because sometimes they change a bunch of parameters that you're not aware of. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you get these, you know, stylized looks, you know, old faded film looks or, you know, things with strange color casts. And when you see one of those as a one-off, it's pretty weird looking. If you see them in a sequence where every image is treated more or less the same way, your brain adapts to it, I think.
And I think when you say one-off, you really aren't meaning just in isolation, because that can be okay.
It's no, I mean as part of a collection.
Mixed with different treatments, yes.
Correct. And you know, and so one of the things that was interesting, and I think we both came to this conclusion, I mean, we talked about it a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. But we both, when we were out yesterday, it was brutal. We're in the middle of some crazy heat wave here in Colorado. Like really hot, like pushing triple digits in Denver and even in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. So we had midday kind of harsh light. And frankly, the images, the visible light images at least, don't look great when you just sort of process them photographically as you might, you know, mm-hmm. traditionally do. You know, harsh shadows, just everything is just, you know, it just, they're uninspiring.
Yes.
And so these treatments, I just messed with some cinematic style profiles that I had created, but you know they're very similar to what the new premium presets are in Lightroom. The presets add some different effects, including like vignette effects, and you know they make other adjustments. Right. Where what I was doing was just choosing a profile, and you can do this too in the Lightroom profiles. If you browse the whole section of profiles, there's vintage ones and there's, you know, a bunch of different things. And then I messed with the images on an individual basis. Mm-hmm. But I mean, similar thing, even with a preset, I still find you want to tweak your images to, you know, they're not one size fits all. They never are. You know.
Yeah. And in my case, despite all that discussion, I actually didn't really end up using the Lightroom new presets. I just didn't find any that particularly inspired me with this location that we shot at. So strangely enough, I used color effects.
Okay, that's a different way to do it. Yeah,
I know. So I was getting it to sort of work for me last night. Although I played more with the Lightroom module at times too, which worked fine. But anyway, the thing I decided to do was just go in a radically different direction than how I normally process images, just for play. You know, just to play around with it, see what happened, see if there was anything I liked. And I actually ended up doing some things, which I think you will admit look very different than my normal images.
Oh yeah, you had that. You were using like those pastel, or
a variety of things.
And there was also, it looked like you were using like the photo stylizer filter and color effects. There's the different tonings where, it makes things look not just vintage film look, it makes things just look over the top different.
I'll just say those weren't what I was using.
Okay. Well,
it doesn't matter even.
There's lots of different ways to get there, but it's interesting because, again, when I've messed with those, whether it was, like when I wrote my book on color effects, there's 54 effect filters in there. And of the 54, I use about 8 on a regular basis, out of the 50. But I had to write about every single one. I had to try to understand every filter because, someone wants to, you're going to sell a book on something. It's kind of important to know what they do. So I went through every single filter and I made screenshots of what they all looked like. And I have to admit, most of the time when you just look at it as in a single instance, it's like, this is just weird. It's over the top. It's strange. So dialing back can help. A lot of times these presets, when you apply them, get applied, or even the profiles can be applied very strongly and you can dial back their intensity a little bit, adjusting the images. And then it is different when you start applying them to a group of images. When you have an entire group of images with similar treatments, all of a sudden your brain just relaxes a little bit. And the way I look at it is this is more of a feature with cinematography, with movies, film. Think about everybody's favorite program, Game of Thrones, right? They film that in daylight. I know this because my sister in the UK has been an extra on Game of Thrones, so she's participated in the filming. But then you get these crazy, like when they're at the wall or wherever they might be, there's that really crazy bluish subdued, everything looks cold. Right. And why is that? Because they're taking the video and they're running it through color adjustments. Okay. And they're doing this. And what happens is you have that color adjustment through this entire thread, through the scene in the film or in the program, and they go to a different location, there might be a different color balance, indoors or whatever, but your brain gets used to it because you're locked into this world and you suspend your disbelief. If you were to just to see it as a single frame next to the original color, you'd be like, what the heck, what is this?
Right. And it is very popular. Breaking Bad did that a lot for the scenes where they were supposedly in Mexico. It was a very different color treatment, much warmer, brighter.
Right.
You've seen hotter.
Exactly.
Other shows have done it too. It does work. Different atmosphere.
I think with still photography, that's where we run into that issue. Because if you have a series of shots and one of them is with a different weird treatment, it just doesn't look right. If you apply that same treatment to a series of shots, all of a sudden you get into that groove with your brain and everything is good.
Yeah, and that's what I was doing. I came up with, I did not start with a preset in color effects. I created one, a new one manually. And it was just out of play. I kind of iterated it for a while, and I was applying this against infrared color mm-hmm. images.
Okay.
And specifically, you know, we won't talk about it a lot this episode, I was using a special profile slash preset for infrared stuff that a way of doing it that I ran onto recently, and we actually talked about it at our infrared workshop in Oregon. But what it allows you to do is look at images, infrared images in Lightroom, and see blue skies. So you see so like them as if the channel swap was done in mm-hmm. Photoshop, but you don't have to go to Photoshop for it. It's kind of cool. So it makes it really easy to tweak the white balance, some mm-hmm. of the other settings, just using the Lightroom controls. So I was doing that and then pushing them off to color effects. But again, treating them in ways I would never normally do and just playing. And mm-hmm. I liked what came out of it in the end. I'm not sure if anyone else will like it. But my view on that is, who cares? Right. You know, you have to figure out who you're doing your images for. If it's for someone else, a client or whatever, you do certain things. If it's for yourself,
what the client asks for you, what they want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I've experienced that where someone said, I want it to look like these pictures in this magazine. That happens frequently. In this case, they're for myself. So it was a style that I had fun with and kind of liked. It was very surreal. I think both of us will put some images up that we did.
Yes, and we'll put them on our Facebook. So when you're going over there to read about the other stuff, you can check out our photos. In fact, I've put an online gallery up that I did. So mm-hmm. I'll just put a link to that in there too. So if you want to see some of the pictures from our fun little eclectic shoot,
and I promise that mine will look weirder, but
there's no doubt. Yeah, I went with more of a vintage film, you know, color slide, you know, kind of look, but not extreme color tinting. Like I didn't go with color grading kinds of stuff. And yours mm-hmm. definitely went that direction.
Mine are borderline hallucinogenic.
All right. Well, that's
in a good way.
In a good way. So that's cool.
Both learned stuff coming out of that, right? Which was the real point. We both expanded the range of treatments that we might consider in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was so. I mean, in general, it was doing something that I won't say we never shoot subjects like this because we do try, but it's not.
We do.
Our number
We don't talk a lot about it. We don't put them on our web pages normally or in public normally.
Yeah, not because any
at least
reason.
I don't.
But whatever. I mean, it was fun to get out. In my case, you know, we were using equipment that we don't always use, or just, you know, like, I mean, even that 24-200 lens that you were using, you know, very nice to have as a little walk around lens. And sometimes you have to say, I'm just going to use this, and I force myself to do it, and you can be pleasantly surprised with what happens, and you just have to accept the results. And then continue that theme of creativity when you get home and you don't just do the straight out of the camera or you process things in a different way because it doesn't have to work, but you certainly learn. You certainly learn mm-hmm. about your software. You figure out what the software is going to do. You figure out if you like some of these looks or whatever. So that was a fun thing to do. And it's good, you know, now that it's not, you know, we went from having 40 degree weather over Memorial Day weekend to having 95 degree weather, you know, a week later.
But I think the more important thing is we went from a year of very restricted kinds of activities to being able to do stuff again. So it is really nice to be able to do things like shoots and then talk about them on the show. And that is just extraordinarily pleasant.
Yeah, it was great. So, you know, it's sometimes good to step out and actually use the stuff that you know, we can talk about buying things all we want, but it's more important to use them, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
A lot more fun.
It certainly is.
And certainly more fun than testing software.
yeah. No, I'd rather be using software, as you said. You know, I get, but, you know, it's all good. And one thing to follow up from last week, you sent me there's rumors going around that availability of those new Nikon macro lenses may be tight. Seems to be that if you haven't pre-ordered one already, you might be waiting a while.
Yeah, months.
But sounds obviously, obviously we don't know. Now, I believe we both pre-ordered one of the 105s, so we'll just have to see. So stay tuned to see if we get our lens.
Yeah, they're supposed to start coming out relatively soon, meaning approximately a week from when this podcast will go out. So we'll see if that happens in our personal cases.
We'll just see. Yeah, one way or another, we'll find out. But
we'll survive if it doesn't, if they don't show up immediately.
No, I'm really hoping we can get out and get it in time for our wildflower trip, because that's obviously just perfect.
Yep. It's case, the perfect focal length for that location. And
one thing that I note, and this is just a you know, side thing, because as long as we're chatting, you know, I mentioned I was using the 85-1.8 Z lens. Mm-hmm. While it doesn't have the closest focusing, because it's not a macro lens, I actually found it was a nice working distance for the old cars and rusty things that we were shooting yesterday. Like, I didn't, I wasn't trying to get macro kind of stuff. In fact, I brought a extension tube. You know, I have a set of a couple sets of Z extension tubes, and with an 85 millimeter lens, you really don't need a lot of extension to, you know, the next thing you know, you have to be a foot away from something. So I didn't want that. I never needed to use them. So that 85 lens was quite nice. I was able to get close enough to my subjects and not have to worry about and fill the frame with the composition that I liked. So it was a nice thing. In fact, and so I was actually thinking I may bring that lens to Crested Butte just as an alternative on the macro work. You know, it's a
and to be clear, slightly, that's for visible light.
It doesn't work well for
infrared hot spotting. No,
if anyone is interested in using Nikon infrared, Nikon mirrorless for infrared, we posted a table on my website, luminescentphoto.com. Just do a search for it. We've got a huge table of every lens that we've tried, whether or not it makes a hot spot. And we've had some of our listeners have helped contribute to that as well with lenses that we didn't own. And the 85, unfortunately, is not a good choice, but the other primes tend to be fine. But for visible light, it's amazing. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great lens. All right. Any other things?
No, I'm just you know, looking forward to another you know, just another weekend, and I'm gonna see my dad for Father's Day, hopefully.
Good.
And
very,
you
know, good.
And you probably, so wishing everyone a happy Father's Day, and for those who celebrate, as they say.
Yep.
But yeah, until next time, we'll be out here. Send us your thoughts, and you know, if you see ideas for interesting treatments or whatever, just again, just please check out our Facebook page, because that's where we're able to kind of do more direct communication with our listeners, and that's where we'll be posting our photos. So until next time, happy shooting.
All right, bye-bye.